You say you want a revolution. Well, you got one. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. I repeat, the revolution will not be televised. It will, however, be podcast. Thanks for being part of the 48%. Thanks for being here. You are not here by mistake. This is the right side of history. Let the revolution begin. Welcome to the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Because here in the club, we all fam.
Welcome to the fam, y'all. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve back at it for another compelling episode.
Yeah, I'm definitely not here by accident. I'm invited every week, which is occasionally surprising. But we're back.
If you weren't invited, would you just keep showing up?
I would just be sitting here still in a room by myself, just talking to myself, just right? Yelling at the wall. It's nice to have someone to bounce it off of.
Some might say that would be a problem, but I think we both talk to ourselves a lot in this world, so I don't think that's an issue, really.
We do. And I've tried to describe that to people about the world of radio or even podcasting. Like, you understand, I sit alone in a room and talk to myself. It doesn't matter if there's an audience listening or not. The reality is, I'm sitting here alone talking to myself. There was one morning I did the morning show at our radio station, and I didn't know the transmitter was off air. We didn't have an alarm system for the issue that was causing to be off air. So someone came and knocked on my door eventually, like the GM at the time. And I'm like, I'm on air. Like, I'm waving him off. And he walks in. He's like, you are not on air right now. I literally sat there for an hour and 45 minutes talking to myself in a room.
Dude, I bet it was your best material, you know, that no one heard. You were killing it.
I was. Sure. They got obscene a couple of times, though, so might have been for everyone's advantage.
Yeah, for the best. Well, welcome to this podcast where we are broadcasting The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. You can find our webpage. We have one of those, thevocalminority.net.
Yeah. Social medias, the fun. TikTok, Reddit, YouTube. That's the real party, of course. Facebook's got three, and we're on all of them for some reason. Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, the beautiful Blue Sky. Find us there, too.
Yeah, I feel like people have been letting, myself included, I'm not trying to call anyone out, but like, we need to stay on this whole Blue Sky thing. I've been noticing a lot of people referring to X as of late, which we are not on by choice. We didn't get kicked off, but we need to keep pumping up this Blue Sky thing.
Yeah, for sure. I've been noticing a lot of news outlets sharing people's, I don't know what they're called on there, but they're Blue Sky posts. Because it always, for years, was somebody said this on Twitter and they post the Twitter thing. But now I'm seeing more and more of them posting their Blue Sky tweets.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's great, dude. Because I haven't been seeing a lot of that lately. So, yeah, that's good.
Yep. Find us there. And we have a phone line, too. And someday we'll play some comments from it.
You can dial those digits. 844-48-VOCAL. Use your telephone as a microphone. We're still busy. I mean, what is Trump? Just a little more than a month in. And the news cycle is forever changed as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, at least for the next 4 years. This is what he is good at. And people don't seem to understand it's part of what he's intentionally doing, overwhelming the news cycle. So I did my pulling of stuff, and I don't know that I have anything non-political today because it's just too much going on.
Well, let's see the plethora of need-to-know news that we have on this program.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special.
Here is a news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring you
the humanity and all the
things. A state which will live in infamy.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Need-to-know news. News you need to know.
Harness. Hello. Hi. Welcome back. So, yes, when Trump got elected officially, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whenever the hell the election was, I started referring to him as King Trump because I really felt like that's what we have just done. We put somebody above the law by, electing a president. He got out of jail time and got out of multiple other criminal cases that were, sitting there waiting to go.
Right.
But for some reason, we elected a king. What was your initial response when I called him King Trump for the first time?
That seems like years ago to me, and right. I truly don't remember. I'm sure that I probably said, no, don't say that. I'm sure I probably said something to the effect.
That is what you said. You did not want me calling him King Trump. It just more so because it just made your stomach churn, and this is America, literally a country founded on the principle that we're not going to have a goddamn king. That's what the founding fathers set out, that And George Washington had the option to stay on for more terms. He even said, no, we're not going to have freaking kings in this country.
That's right.
Well, we have a king in this country. Now the king is owning it. You know, as I've been calling him King Trump, it was supposed to be mildly insulting to him and to his followers that you made the guy a king above the law. This is very un-American. And I felt that calling him King Trump would kind of keep driving that point home.
It was kind of a way to call out the true patriots out there. I mean, if you're a patriot, like, you don't believe in kings? Come on.
Our glorious leader, heir Donald Trump, seemingly gave in to his autocratic impulses with a social media post referring to himself as a monarch today, recording day. He wrote to congratulate himself, of course, on his administration's move to end New York City's congestion pricing plan, which was implemented last month to reduce traffic and raise money for the city's crumbling public transit system. Are you hip on this congestion pricing thing?
You know, I just perused an article right before we started the show. I think it has something to do with tolls. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's an understandable problem. You know, New York City, tons of traffic, congestion. So they're basically during peak times of the day, with tolls mainly, are making it more expensive. They're trying to encourage you to carpool or take public transit or whatever it is. So, but a lot of conservatives don't like this. So Trump truthed, tweeted, whatever you want to call it today. He said, congestion pricing is dead. Manhattan and all of New York is saved. He signed it. Long live the king. He referred to himself as the king. And then to make matters worse, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Taylor Budowich leaned into the king comment, posting on X an AI-generated image of Trump wearing a crown. The then official White House Twitter account posted the same fake Time magazine cover with Trump wearing a crown with the headline, Long Live the King.
This is a sad day for democracy, dude. I mean, in that way, this is nothing to joke about. The White House reposting the picture of it, I don't think that's a joke.
It's a little ironic they did a fake Time cover because Trump just got all pissed off that Time put Musk on the cover and when he was asked about it, he was like, is that thing still around? I thought that thing failed. So.
Right.
But yeah, so so Trump himself referred to him as the king, and then the White House and one of his top staffers doubled down on it. And, you know, again, so many MAGA people try to claim to be such lovers of the Constitution, Trump, you know, hugging the flag and molesting it, and, you know, big fans of the Second Amendment, but... To openly embrace this, that he is the king, like I said, completely goes against the entire founding principles of this country. And you just watch, MAGA will now keep going with this. They will embrace it, that we have a king, even though it's completely un-American.
When they're called out on it, I already know the response. They're going to say, like, you know, he's just saying it to get the liberals riled all up, and that's exactly what he's done. You have read no history of Germany in the 30s. I mean, you have read no history about how this happens. This is the same playbook that's happened many times before, and you're ignoring it, saying, like, he's just kidding. Stop making excuses for that asshole.
It's how democracy dies. It's how dictators arise from a former non-dictatorship or autocracy or... And, like I said, it's just a bad sign. And I do bet Trump probably will try to embrace it in the MAGAs in an attempt to stick it to us, the libs. But Trump will embrace it because, of course, he does want to be king. I mean, he's a narcissist, so anything that feeds his ego, he'll, of course, run with.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
And I'm sure you do, because he does want to be a king. He does want to put his stamp on this world. He's already rewriting the map. He's already trying to claim other countries. He has heard us calling himself King Trump, and I think he realized, like, it gave him some safety of, like, oh, well, if the libs are trying to stick it to me by calling that, I'll just embrace the fact that I'm a king. And the fact that he's the one that started this today, referring to himself as the king, I mean, it's truly fucking disturbing. And I will just again remind the MAGA types that eventually one of these days, I'm assuming in 3 years and 11 months, a Democrat will be the next president. And are you going to be okay with them being a king? And do you realize you've given yourself no moral high ground to stand on when the next president does act like a king, when he pardons his son or whatever it is that you're all pissed off about? We have made the presidency a king. Nice job. Hard to take that back.
100%, dude. They don't take stuff back. I mean, ever. I was sitting today, I got gas, and I was like, why are gas prices going up? So I did the calculations. They've gone up 40 cents plus in some other stations, but 40 cents at my gas station since Trump has been president. Now, I'm not a fool. I understand that presidents don't completely control the gas prices, but I posted on Facebook, like, I guess I should remain positive because egg prices and grocery prices are falling very quickly. And I thought to myself, people will understand that's a joke, right? The MAGA people won't understand that's a joke. And if I press them on it, they'll be like, bird flu, dude. This is not his problem. The gas prices are going up because of what Biden did. It's hard to recover from something like that. They make any excuses that they possibly can for this man.
Yeah. That's why it's so frustrating to try to have these debates, because we're just grounded in different realities. Because, you know, when gas prices were up or eggs prices were up under Biden, there were, of course, reasons for it, sure. None of which had anything to do with Biden policies or whatever. And the same thing with Trump right now. Like, egg prices are up because of, you know, this bird flu. And, but, you know, things presidents do can affect these markets, either positively or negatively. I mean, we were heading for a full-on recession 4 years ago with inflation skyrocketing from COVID, not from Biden policies. And he did everything he could to try to stem that off and avoid a full recession, which we did. Inflation rate's been dropping for years. And it finally got under 3%, which is considered somewhat normalish. But now it's ticking back up again. And is it 100% because of Trump? No. But the things he's threatening, the tariffs he's putting in place, it's causing the markets to freak out. And it's not helping bring prices down. And Trump just did an interview a couple of days ago with Vice President Musk, or maybe it's Vice President Trump and President Musk did an interview.
Right.
And Trump acknowledged, like, yeah, inflation's coming back, but it's Biden. It's all Biden, you know. And some of the things I'm doing are going to make it worse, but we need some short-term pain for long-term prosperity and blah, 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 blah. But how long do you think he's going to try to keep blaming Biden? Because just like Biden was handed a shitty situation with inflation and COVID, Biden stepped in and started taking measures to bring it down. Trump is stepping in to take measures to make it worse, and he's publicly admitting it. So, yeah, what's your guess? You know, 3 months, next 4 years, how long will he continue to blame Biden? And keep in mind, he just blamed Obama for that helicopter crash. So.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, is like he blamed Obama for his whole presidency, and sometimes he still blames him, even to this day. So I don't think it ever stops, you know, is what happens when you let those libs get away with doing stuff. It's, you know, pain for a long time. He really messed it up. It's very sad.
Yeah. I really do want people to take note that every time something bad happens in this country, he did it before, he will keep doing it again. He's already started doing it. Does not matter what the thing is, whether it's inflation or a helicopter running into a plane, he will immediately blame somebody else, and it will 9 times out of 10 be directed to liberals, whether it's Biden specifically or liberal DEI policies. Nothing will be his fault, which is the hallmark of a terrible freaking boss. The buck's supposed to stop with the president.
He's the first guy that we've seen that has not once said, like, I take full responsibility for it. I made a bad call. It didn't work out like I thought it was going to. He's never said that, and he will never say that. He said, like, I don't think I need to take responsibility. I go back to a time where he was campaigning for 2016, and the religious types were, like, trying to talk to him about religion and God and everything. And he was like, have you ever asked God for forgiveness? And he was like, no, I don't think I really have. I don't think I put myself in situations where I would have to do something like that.
Right.
That's the hallmark of a Christian, you know, is like realizing your imperfections. Like, you are wrong on so many levels, you orange baboon.
There's a chance he's not really Christian, Catholic, or any other.
You shut your mouth, dude.
In case anybody doesn't know, God calls it an abomination.
Yes. Trump is a Christian, dude. He's evangelical.
He's got his own Bible, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, obviously, that's true.
He's a He's a good Christian Catholic, whatever the hell he's claiming to be today. So yeah, he'll never accept blame, and on we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, well, one day we will stand for King Trump.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Get over here, Nick.
Nah, I'm coming. Okay, this is what I'm going to talk about first. We know RFK is now in charge of the health of our great nation, right?
Obviously, that's a joke. I've been sleeping the last month or two. That can't be real.
No, that's not a joke, dude. He, yes, he's in charge of your health care, my health care. I read an article. This has been in the news, but RFK is going after widely used antidepressants, claiming they could be a threat to Americans. I don't even know where to start with that, dude. First of all, if you've ever taken antidepressants, even on the label, if you read it, it says, like, this is something you shouldn't stop right away. Like, you should taper this down.
Yeah.
He wants to take away antidepressants from this entire country, dude. Can you imagine the tragedy that this would create?
I can, yes. He is trying to claim that it's more addictive than heroin or harder to come off of. And obviously that's not based on any scientific data whatsoever. Listen, I've acknowledged on the show before that about a year ago, I started taking antidepressants for the first time in my life. I had always resisted the notion. I always thought I could power through things. And a lot of the times I did. You know, I do subscribe to the philosophy that you should not be taking antidepressants for short-term situational things. Like, you know, your dog dies, so you become depressed. You don't take antidepressants to get out of that depression. But if sure. you have a chronic or a long-term thing, yeah, you should be, or at least should consider it. And I've changed my tune wildly. Like, I really felt the change in my brain chemistry. Not in a, like, I'm some zombie creature or something, just something was a little out of balance up there and was causing it everything to tilt towards the dark. And yeah, starting these antidepressants and continuing my therapy and exercise and diet and all that stuff, it's done miraculous things. And I've seen it in multiple people in my world. So I'm a believer in them when done correctly. And I've never seen somebody have a hard time getting off of them. I won't be on them permanently.
Oh, you don't think you will be?
I don't think so. I mean, that's never why I started it.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I'm not stopping like anytime real soon, but forever?
Sure.
I don't think so, but, you know.
You know what? And if someone's going to choose to stay on them forever, like, some people are getting over trauma and may need it. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I'm telling you that, you know, people use them for different reasons, one of which is some sort of chemical imbalance in your head. And these drugs help with that kind of stuff, and that person would be on them forever, and that's okay. Right. It's not being abused. It's not a problem like RFK is claiming. He's talking about other drugs too. I mean, he is he's talking about selective serotonin inhibitors, so SSRIs is what they're commonly referred to. He wants to go after a lot of them. This class of prescriptions, including drugs like Zoloft, Lexapro, and Prozac, used by over 13% of American adults. While they can carry side effects, it's not common for some patients. SSRIs are widely prescribed and have significantly decreased the prevalence of suicide, according to a study out of UCLA. Well, he wants to look at all these and is talking about farms where you would go and you would practice meditation. You know, you would practice some more holistic things that didn't involve taking prescription drugs. And I think a lot of people have a mix of those two things. Sometimes meditation ain't cutting it, RFK. You're a great example for a guy who did heroin for his entire college career and say that's what got you through it. Like, sometimes people need stuff. And if I'm talking Zoloft or heroin, I think Zoloft's probably one to stick around.
Yes. And Nick is talking to RFK right now, not me, when he says yes. You're a good example of someone who's on heroin for most of their life.
Thank you. Yeah, I should have made that distinction.
But no, I mean, I just mentioned that you really should be doing all these stuff in conjunction with other things, with exercise and therapy and, you know, meditation, whatever. Yeah. And yeah, of course, some people can get away with just doing one of these things. Maybe some need a plethora. Maybe some it's short term, some it's long term. But to eliminate options for people is always a terrible idea. if they want to increase funding into yoga and meditation practices, that's great. But you don't want to take other options off. It's like saying, well, airbags save lives in cars, so do we still need seatbelts?
That's a great, great way to put it. And let's not forget, RFK, you are no doctor. I don't know why you would. At least Ben Carson was a doctor, dude. You know, like, you're not a doctor. To make a decision like that for everybody in this country is absolutely nuts.
Well, he's got Dr. Oz on his side, though. He's a doctor, so.
And Dr. Phil, I think, hangs with those guys. So, like.
And I'm sure they all drink Dr. Pepper. So there's a lot of doctors that are surrounding this completely unqualified quack who has admitted that half of his brain's been eaten by a worm.
Right. He continues to eat roadkill. And he's a guy we should be trusting. Let me tell you this. We all know what we just talked about. If you're not an idiot, you know that we're both right. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. This would be terrible for the citizens of our country. Let's have a little comic relief with it. Have you ever heard of a lady called Francesca Florentini?
I don't believe so, but I think I'm about to.
Francesca Florentini, American journalist, progressive political activist, and comedian, was on Piers Morgan Live. He asked her a question and she answered.
He comes from a good place of wanting to make America a healthier place. What's wrong with that?
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think he is the picture of health himself. I mean, he's a roided up 70-year-old who doesn't believe in germ theory and eats roadkill. I think that is perfect. He sounds like he's speaking into a fan half the time, and he doesn't believe in vaccines. He wants to replace healthcare in this country with Ozempic, and he also wants to limit access to antidepressants and psychiatric meds for all Americans and replace it with things like meditation. If we think we have a mental health care crisis in this country now, just you wait until RFK Jr. is finished with this country. If you think there is some sort of drug epidemic, people are going to be buying Adderall on the black market in insane amount. He also thinks that Jewish people and Chinese people can't get COVID. That was a fun one. You should tell that to my uncle. Oh, wait, he's dead. Also, 83 Samoans also dead from the anti-vax work that he did in American Samoa. Just as there's a measles outbreak in Texas right now because of the kind of lies about vaccines that he has spilled. But honestly, Pierce, other than that, truly a picture of health.
Well, when you put it like that, it sounds kind of absurd.
Yeah. I mean, and that's all true things. Like, she wasn't lying about any of that stuff or even exaggerating it. So, yeah, why wouldn't he be in charge of your health and mine?
And these are all things that he has acknowledged and admitted. It's not like we've made up some wild conspiracy theories about any of that stuff. And I hope everyone notices every single one of his cabinet picks has made their way through. No matter how crazy, unqualified, or anything else. Now, yeah, one or two of them, like Matt Gaetz, even realized they were in over their heads and pulled out, but they probably would have gotten through as well. So any of this, like, we're going to hold on for the guardrails, like, it's not working so far.
And Matt Gaetz pulling out isn't impressive. His father should have been the one to do that.
He doesn't have to worry about that in his own personal sex life, because I don't think any of his partners are menstruating yet. I don't think they're...
Oh, yes!
Need to know news you need to know.
Hi, Stephen. This is Clem Fandango. Can you hear me?
No. I've been taking prescriptions prescribed by RFK, and I've officially gone deaf. It's a common side effect. I should do more yoga. So.
You should, dude. Get a little meditation in before next week's show.
Okay, some more need to know news. Now, all of this shenanigans with Doge, the little doggy group that's being run by Elon Musk, trying to root out government waste. Now, I think we're all aware that, of course, there is some government waste. That does not mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? You don't just shut down an entire department because you just think there's waste or have discovered some level of waste, right?
Sure, we've seen government waste, dude. I mean, Donald Trump was elected. That's government waste right there.
Yeah. Some waste that I wish we could flush, but we're going to have to wait a few years on that. But, you know, they're running around screaming about everything. The latest claim that there are, what they say, like tens of millions of people well over the age of 100 collecting Social Security, like, it's already been debunked. There are select cases of people that have died that for a limited window have received things. There's also been two different initiatives in the last few years under Biden to recall millions of dollars that were handed out incorrectly, either through Social Security or other programs. But You know, my point is the Doge world and the Trump world, they are fighting over every little dollar they can get back. And anytime they can tout a price tag of millions that we just saved millions of dollars off of this program, they seem quite happy with themselves.
Oh, of course they do. I have audio of Trump talking about some of the old people if you want to hear it now.
Sure, go ahead.
Let's go into the real numbers. From 200 to 209 years old, 879 people. From 210 years old, I haven't met any of them. And if I did, I would bless them. I would worship the ground they walk on. 210 to 219 years, 866. From 220 years old to 229 years old, 1,039. So. And then you have two people. From 240 years old to 249 years old. And there's one person that's 360 years old.
Out of 300 million people.
Yeah, Social Security pays out trillions of dollars, and the actual fraud or waste numbers seem to be at about 1%, which I understand can still represent a lot of money when you're talking about trillions, but it's very disingenuous to claim that there are just, you know, countless people that are that old getting benefits. Now, I did see some reports saying that some of those names are still on the logs or the reports, but we stopped sending them checks eons ago. They just haven't been purged off the records. And you'll notice that Trump and Musk have not provided any actual hardcore data to represent any of this. They're just saying this stuff is happening without giving any facts. And anyone who started fact-checking it has riddled it full of holes quickly. And by the way, if somebody is still issuing checks for somebody who's 229 years old, I would think it'd be pretty easy to find out who's cashing those checks, because you're committing fraud and we should be prosecuting you. That's what I'm waiting for. All of these accounts, well, who's cashing these checks? Because apparently we should just be having a litany of prosecutions of people that are cashing their great-great-great-grandmother's Social Security check that's still showing up for some reason. You know,
there's got to be, if he in that clip just named roughly 3,000 people, there's got to be 3,000 criminals out there. Go after them.
Yeah. So I will be standing by eagerly awaiting the perp walks that apparently are going to be coming en masse. Because there are tens of thousands of these people happening. So, all right, you got the numbers, so get to the bottom of it. I think you have an entire department based on, like, justice and prosecution and things.
It's the Department of Justice, I think. Yeah,
that's a good name, spot on. So, yeah, stand by, everyone. If any of this stuff they're claiming is true, we should see all sorts of prosecutions coming. But in the meantime, I have personally identified millions of dollars in wasted government spending that have happened just in the last few weeks.
Oh, well, let us hear about it. It's breaking news on the Vocal Minority, compliments of Steve Harness.
That's right. Here's the thing. Donald Trump has already spent $10.7 million of taxpayer money just to play golf in the last month. Over $10 million to play
million.
Golf.
Okay. $10 million. I mean, that's nothing in the grand scheme of things, right?
Well, that's over a month. So if you extrapolate that out, that should be $120 million just in the first year alone on golf. Not to mention the fact that he's mainly golfing at his own golf courses, which means a lot of the money is going back to a business he owns.
Yeah. Kickbacks, I think, is what they call that.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? By visiting his for-profit businesses roughly a third of his days in office, Trump is directing government spending to follow him there and profiting off the trip. That is Jordan Libowitz, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics, a little committee there.
We saw with the first term that he was having people stay in his hotels and charging exorbitant fees, you know, way beyond what he charged civilians. So he's doing that same kind of shit? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, clearly. And the MAGA types, again, do not care. If Obama owned his own hotel and golf course and was funneling taxpayer money, Social Security detail, I mean, they would obviously just be shitting their pants. But
well, what you're forgetting, though, Steve, is he's not taking a salary.
Yeah, right. I mean, I love when people say that. He's not taking his, what if it's like $200,000 a year salary for being president. Meanwhile, he's funneling millions of dollars into his personal businesses. His children walked away with a check for $2 billion from the Saudis last time that no MAGA seems to care about. They care that Hunter Biden got a six-figure job, maybe theoretically because of his last name, but They don't care about the billions that Ivanka and Jared took. But so, yeah, so Trump's in office roughly a month, approximately $10.7 million of taxpayer money going to him playing golf. And how does this break down? And by the way, this is not being brought to the attention, apparently, of the Department of Government Efficiency, the DOGE, the Waste and Fraud and Abuse Hunters. Fun fact here, they did a search for the term golf to see if it appeared in any of Musk's reports, any of his tweets, and you're going to be surprised to hear the word golf doesn't appear in any of their things they put out there so far.
Are you kidding me, dude?
I'm not.
That's the kind of shit you're like, why even try and get away with that? Like, we see him on the golf course all the time. He talks about being on the golf course all the time.
Right. Yeah, here it is. Even as they point out five and six figure contracts, five figures. So that's, you know, 90 grand or whatever, six figures, 100,000. We're talking millions here. They have ignored each of Trump's seven figure golf trips to date. A search of posts by Doge on Musk's social media website, once known as Twitter, found zero mentions of the word golf. Now, you may logically wonder, why is it costing millions of dollars to let somebody go golf, right?
I don't wonder that, but some might.
Well, here's a little breakdown to give some context to this. It's when the president goes out to golf, it's not just the green fees that they got to cover. So the $10.7 million tally is based on a 2019 report by the Government Accountability Office, breaking down the cost of Trump's first trips to Mar-a-Lago, his Palm Beach, Florida country club, during his first term. The GAO calculated a total cost of $3.3 million for each trip. About one-third of that was the flight cost of Air Force One for the round trip, with additional expenses for flying down other vehicles, including two presidential limousines for Trump's motorcade and reimbursing the Coast Guard for stationing a gunship off the coast so that they could respond to any sort of, you know, terrorist incident, which you got to think, like, that would make a lot of sense. If a foreign country knows he's golfing at Mar-a-Lago every Sunday, they may do a terrorist attack there. They may send in bombers or whatever. So, yeah, we got to station a freaking battleship off this coast to make sure that the president is safe. And, again, all of that stuff is based on the cost of a report in 2019, but they're based on 2017 dollars. So it's likely that all of this is actually higher with, you know, expenses going up and cost of gas going up and all that stuff. So.
Sure.
So, yeah, just over $10 million in the first month alone so that Trump can spend every freaking weekend out there golfing.
And how come no one is bringing that up? How come no one is bringing up the fact that you guys made such a big deal that he was the first sitting president to ever attend a Super Bowl? Do you have any idea how much that cost, dude?
That was another multi-million dollars wasted in security and travel expense and everything else. Not to mention those tickets are like 10 grand a piece.
Not to mention he left early, dude, because, you know, he was, who knows, hated the performance, hated the booze he was receiving. Who knows why he did.
But well, maybe his team was getting their asses kicked, so he decided to sneak out. And yeah, listen, I don't want to claim that presidents should never be taking vacations, because obviously everyone deserves vacation, especially a high-stress job. Trump's been on the clock for a month and has been golfing every freaking weekend. I don't know almost anyone in my real life that can afford to or would take that much time to themselves where every freaking weekend they're out there golfing, except probably a few bad dads I know, which would describe Trump as well. So.
Yeah. Well, you and I both loved golf. How many times have you been golfing in the last 30 days?
Zero. In the last year, I haven't golfed in the last year. But again, I'm not trying to say that they don't deserve some time. But golfing every freaking weekend when you've only been in office for a month and you had all of these day one initiatives in the first 100 days and out there golfing every weekend, blowing over $10 million so far of taxpayer dollars, while simultaneously trying to cut foreign aid, the Department of Education, the food stamp program, all of these things he's cutting to find any amount of waste. But no one's mentioning golfing every effing weekend.
No, No, because, well, facts don't matter, dude. Somebody posted on Facebook today, a guy I know, was talking about all the money that Doge, you know, he's a liberal, but he was like, everyone's all excited about the money that Doge is saving. But if you really look into it, like the numbers that they're saving isn't that great. And some guy was like, why can't you just applaud good work? Like, they're finding corruption, they're saving money. Like, why can't you just applaud that? I was like, you don't even understand the budget. All you care about is that libs are pissed over this, and you love the fact that, you know, you want to get on board with that, ribbing it to the libs. Like, you don't even understand what's happening here. So shut up, dude.
It's perfect for low information voters, because they're getting off on him going around, you know, just cutting funding everywhere and closing down departments, because that sounds good. Because we've all heard about government waste forever. We've all wanted it to be, you know, eliminated as much as possible. But again, that's a precision thing. You got to find the actual waste within these programs and eliminate the waste, because the programs exist for valid reasons. But Trump's just taken a blowtorch instead of a precision laser. And yeah, we're in the fuck around phase. We will soon be in the find out phase. And, you know, we're already seeing farmers getting screwed by some of these grants and programs getting cut. And I have talked to some people that work in schools or chambers of commerce where they're like, gee, we were approved for a grant this year to do this new program. Are we getting that money? We should assume we still are, but maybe we shouldn't hire someone yet. Like, it's causing chaos already. And again, we're 30 days in. So fast forward a year or two, you're going to see that some of these programs you think were just wasteful, maybe 5% of it was wasteful and we should have trimmed that, but the rest of it you're going to need and want, including Medicaid that he announced today that is under the gun. That, yep, he says he's going to leave Social Security alone, but he's gone after Medicaid. So if you have, I don't know, anyone in your life that is older or has special needs, like, they're coming after those people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fuck around. He said there's going to be pain, dude, so bring the pain. I feel the pain, Steve. I feel the pain.
He's not going to feel pain, by the way, everyone. Neither will Elon Musk. But you, me, and the average Joe citizen out there, yeah, we're going to feel the pain, and he's just fine with that.
No problemo.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know. Start the news chant, please.
Come on.
News, 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 news.
Start that freaking news chant, boys. Get on it. I'm going to tell you, well, I got a few things to tell you, but I'm going to talk about this because we were talking about earlier in one of your news stories about something that was on the White House website. What was it?
The King Trump thing. Okay. An AI cover of Time magazine heralding the long live the king.
I'm stoned. Listen, this was also posted on the White House webpage, and it's got good, sensible people up in arms. A social media team now coming under fire for this dehumanizing social media post that shows immigrants in chains being deported along with audio of the shackles and aircraft. The caption reads, ASMR, Alien Deportation Flight. Wow. You know what ASMR is, right?
That's like the soothing sounds you can fall asleep to, right?
Yeah, it's like, you know, some people like the sound of fingernails tapping on a table. And, you know, those kind of sounds put them to sleep. But it's something positive. And this is the ASMR of illegal alien deportation. And the video had no words. It was just the sounds of them putting the chains on these immigrants and walking them in the plane, all that kind of shit.
Listen, it is one thing to think we need tougher border laws or that criminals that are, you know, undocumented should be deported. But if you don't have some level of humanity or empathy, that worries me. But when you go to the extreme where you're basically saying, I'm going to jerk off listening to this, or I will be soothed to sleep listening to immigrants be thrown out of the country, there's truly something wrong with you. Like, seek professional help. That's twisted shit.
No matter what side of the aisle you're on, like you just said, that's twisted shit if you get off to that, dude. So this is where we are. I mean, these are the things that they're posting on the White House page.
Because that's what it's really about. they do get off on this stuff. They don't care what the actual numbers are, what the actual ramifications are, how many criminals are here, blah, blah, blah. They just want to own the libs. They want to stick it to any sort of liberal cause, and they want to hurt and demonize others, the people that don't look like them.
Doesn't have anything to do with legal immigration. I mean, all the illegal immigrants I've seen being deported are brown or black. You know, yes. I haven't seen any white illegal immigrants deported.
No, we're letting them into the White House to help run the country. So.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly.
I mean, seriously, I hope no one ever forgets. Elon Musk came here as an illegal immigrant. He was not documented. He didn't run across the border. He could afford a ticket to get here. But still, he started off as a quote-unquote illegal immigrant. But we saw the value in him for some reason, probably because he was a white guy. So.
Yeah, probably so. I will say one more thing here. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the Associated Press and the organization that they are. They are now refusing to refer to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America, and Trump's not happy about it, right?
But the Associated Press just refuses to go with what the law is and what is taking place. It's called the Gulf of America now. It's not called the Gulf of Mexico any longer. I have the right to do it, just like we have the right to do Mount McKinley, and nobody's even challenging that. Essentially, it's primarily the Associated Press, and I don't know what they're doing, but I just say that we're going to keep them out until such time as they agree that it's the Gulf of America. We're very proud of this country, and we want it to be the Gulf of America.
Wow. There's so much wrong with that, dude. First of all, he's saying it's the law. It's not the law.
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, it's not a law. We did not pass that as a law, so stop saying that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's not a law. That, again, is an example of him thinking he's a king by saying, you know, I said it. It's beautiful. It's a law.
Yes. He thinks it's the declaration, the fiat thing, just the supreme leader deemed it to be so. And that really is a telling thing, because I think he does think that an executive order makes it the law.
You're 100% right, dude. I signed the leather-bound book and showed my obscenely large signature to everybody like it's law. Nope, that's not how it works. Then he threatens that, we're just not going to let him in. Until they start following the law, we're not going to let him in. That is not freedom of press. You're not a constitutionalist, dude. You don't care about our Constitution. And you say the quiet parts out loud in a really easy clip like this, where you could have been like, I wish they'd say it. And I don't think that he means to say that stuff sometimes, but that's how he feels. So it comes out.
Well, it's that top of mind stuff. You know, it's on the top of his brain. So it's what comes flying out that, he thinks it's a law. And how unconstitutional. And how dictatorship and authoritarian to be banning media outlets because they won't agree with you. And by the way, the Associated Press has a valid reason that they're an international news organization. They're not going to write one news article for America and one for Europe. Like, no other country is recognizing it as the Gulf of America. So they're simply stating the fact that until it's officially changed and recognized to the vast majority of places we publish articles, then no, we're sticking with what it actually is named.
I've seen like airline pilots saying it as they fly over. If you look out your left window, you'll see the beautiful Gulf of America, and the plane erupt in cheers. Right. I'm like, this has to be a comedy sketch.
Yeah.
Because no one gave a fuck about the Gulf of Mexico before that.
Of course. So Mexico, their president is talking about suing Google for changing it on their apps, which I really hope they do that.
Yeah.
To counterbalance that, MapQuest, for anyone still using MapQuest, has added this feature where you can now name that piece of water anything you want on your personal map. So people are coming up with all sorts of names. You're probably seeing them circulate in the meme world. That is from MapQuest. They'll let you call it whatever you want. So.
That is really funny, dude, and what a nice thing to do. I mean, this is very reminiscent of, when Trump was president the first time, when he pulled out his black Sharpie and, like, redrew the hurricane and stuff like that. Like, you can't just put shit down and expect us to accept it as reality.
Right. And by the way, this whole Mount McKinley thing, because Obama renamed it, that is a piece of land that is squarely within our borders. It's our land, so it makes a lot more sense that we can say, well, we're going to change the name of the mountain. It's our mountain. It's in our country. It doesn't border another. It's nothing like that. The Gulf of Mexico is an international waterway that borders multiple countries. America, yeah. Mexico, Cuba, parts of South America. Like, I mean, that's the dispute there, that it's an international waterway.
Waterway, sure. Right. And the fact that you are calling it Gulf of America is exactly the reason that other countries hate us and our arrogance. It's for that. Like, why the hell would you call it that? That's crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
It is funny. You and I were having a conversation. I was like, I read somewhere that somebody said, you know, I find it hysterical how all you frickin' bros hop on and we're like, Gulf of America. You have no problem with someone just saying a name change, but you have such a hard time with pronouns when people, you know, want to be called something that you can't do, but you can jump on this.
Yes, that is a very solid point. Because, yeah, people are always like, I prefer to be called they, them. And you're like, no, I don't care if you prefer that. I ain't doing that because that's not what it's always been. But then Trump says, I prefer we call that piece of water the Gulf of America. I expect you all to do it. They're like, yep, it's what he prefers. So I think we should respect that.
We should respect that. Google got right on it.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Example number 7,800,000 of right-wing hypocrisy.
But we don't want you to be discouraged. We assure you, we will fight hard for freedom.
We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.
And we will fart hard as well.
Do you have news you need to know? Like, need to know news? How about news you need to know? Do you feel like you need to know that? What if we could guarantee only news you need to know? You know, the need to know news. I think we might be on to something you need to know. Perhaps it's news. Let's see if we need to know it.
Huh. I need some Xanax after that open every time. How does RFK feel about Xanax? Is that okay?
Or
is that
no, bad? Meditate, Stephen.
Okay, I'm going to go meditate on that one then. So, interesting, you played the fart hard slip of the tongue there. That was Hakeem Jeffries doing one of our favorite Freudian slips. And Mr. Jeffries is back in the news today. Here's the thing. We've been saying this for years, that the right wing, for better or for worse, is really good at branding stuff. You know, they come up with these little zingers, whereas the libs are not very good. The classic example is global warming. You know, it's not really warming. Or defund the police. You know, the concept of defund the police is correct. It's actually redistributing funds to other resources to help the police. But we called it defund the police, and they jump all over us for that, you know.
We're idiots. Republicans are really good at writing headlines.
Yeah, they're good at their branding stuff, and the libs need to be better about it. So Hakeem Jeffries, in a recent interview, opened up his mouth, and I don't know, a lot of people are saying, you tried to zing Trump, and all you did was make him look cool, because yet again, Democrats suck at trying to come up with some sort of negative branding towards their side.
What did he say, dude?
Tell me if you agree or not. Like other Democratic leaders, House Majority Leaders, leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York, is trying to sound the alarm that Donald Trump is trying to turn America into an autocracy, which is extremely accurate, and the Dems definitely need to be screaming from the rooftops on this. Some are doing it, but they need to do it even more. But his latest attempt fell flat on social media for its inherent lameness. During an interview on Tuesday, Jeffries attempted to point out that Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans spent last year promising to lower the high cost of living and running away from Project 2025 as if it didn't exist. He went on to say he didn't want to refer to Trump by name, so Hakeem Jeffries opting to mock the president by calling him Captain Chaos. And many social media users felt that the name actually made him sound kind of cool, and that Trump will probably embrace that. So, do you think calling him Captain Chaos, is that a good zinger, or is that just going to fuel right into what he's trying to do?
Therein lies the problem, right? Is because Captain Chaos, it's obviously going to fuel right into it, because you guys are idiots. You put pictures of Trump with a Rambo's body on a flag, you know, like, that's what you're looking for, is chaos, and that's what he delivers. So, yeah, I guess poor choice of words. I understand what he was trying to say, you know, a quirky little, like, he's chaos, he's crazy. But, yeah, they aren't going to take it that way.
No, and Jeffries kind of gave a little grin after he said it, as if he got a good zinger out there. But, yeah, I would tend to agree that giving him any sort of superhero sounding name like Captain America or whatever is just going to embolden him. And they want this chaos. What we're calling chaos, they're saying it's what, you know, they voted for. It's what we put him there to go kick ass and shake up the snow globe and, you know, gut all this government funding. So, yeah, I would expect to see Captain Chaos t-shirts coming. By the time this podcast is posted, I am very sure that those will be out there. I don't know what would have been a better title because I'm a lib and apparently I'm not good at it. Something probably with the word king, I would have said, calling him King Chaos or King of Chaos would have been good. But now he's embracing the whole he's a king thing. So I don't think we want to give him any more ammunition for that either.
By the end of this four-year term, how much do you want to bet that he will wear a thorny crown and put himself on a cross as a martyr, you know? Like, it's not far off. And you know what? Hakeem's going to get one wrong every once in a while. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter what we say. They embrace it. He shits his pants. They start wearing diapers. You know, he wears a big maxi pad on his ear. They see, you know, we call it out. They start wearing them. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Didn't you say he put his mugshot on the wall in the Oval Office?
Yeah. Framed, you know, a nice gilded gold frame. And if you take your child to the White House, if you're lucky enough to go there someday, yeah, you'll see it on the wall in the Oval Office. So,
yeah, this is us still trying to be cutesy, Captain Chaos. Call him like Captain Grandma Killer or something. Like, I mean, if you're going to try to go low, then go low. But it reminds me of Captain Caveman. Captain Chaos!
I think we just stick with Hitler, dude. I mean, that one seemed to work for us. It's the only one that they snap back and like, hey, don't call him that. Like, that's gross. That's dangerous.
Yeah, true. And I'm sick of them telling us to stop calling him Hitler. My comeback to that is always stop doing things that are like Hitler and we'll stop calling him that. It's not us calling him Hitler. It's him doing Hitler-esque things that needs to stop.
Yes, 100%. No reason, though. There's no reason over there, Steve. We know that.
No. But, yeah, we need to have a little marketing brainstorming thing, which, again, goes back to this chorus company that keeps threatening us liberal podcasts with some sort of cohesive plan. Let's all get on the same page. Let's have some talking points. Let's find things that do sting them and drill it home. But they haven't done anything, and we're all still floundering, and we're coming up with things that make them sound cooler. So where I will admonish the left. We need to be better at branding, and we need to keep screaming from the rooftops because this is batshit crazy what's going on right now. And again, Elon Musk being the pseudo-president, could you fathom if Obama gave George Soros an office in the White House and gave him some unofficial exempt title where we can't even control him because it's not a real thing?
No, there would be patriots on the lawn of the White House trying to get in there. We gotta hang him. He wasn't elected.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Trump called Zelensky of Ukraine a dictator after Ukraine's leaders accused him of living in disinformation space. That's what Zelensky himself said about Trump, that he's living in disinformation. In fact, Russian disinformation circle is what he carried on to say. Yeah. And Trump came out and called him a dictator. He wrote a long truth. I'll play some of it for you here. This is what Trump had to say about Ukraine's Zelensky.
He refuses to have elections, is very low in Ukrainian polls, and the only thing he was good at was playing Biden like a fiddle. A dictator without elections? Zelensky better move fast or he is not going to have a country left. In the meantime, we are successfully negotiating an end to the war with Russia, something all admit that only Trump and the Trump administration can do. Biden never tried, Europe has failed to bring peace, and Zelensky probably wants to keep the gravy train going. I love Ukraine, but Zelensky has done a terrible job, his country is shattered, and millions have unnecessarily died, and so it continues.
That's what he had to say in his truth, and I say that in air quotes, post.
Again, so much projecting going on there. A dictator that wasn't elected, he better move fast, he's going to lose his country. And, you know, the only reason Trump is attempting to negotiate something is because he is Putin's little puppet, and is going to give Putin what he wants. Biden would not have done that.
No.
And I really do feel bad for Zelensky and the Ukraine, because let me look at my crystal ball. You guys are about to get screwed hard. Trump is under this notion that there needs to be a meeting in the middle. You know, I'm sorry, Ukraine, you're going to have to give up some territory, or you're not going to be able to join NATO or whatever. Like, again, if Mexico invaded Texas, could you fathom anyone in Megaland saying, well, let's give them Houston and maybe Austin? And like, they're already there. Texas used to belong to Mexico back in the day. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's preposterous. Russia invaded Ukraine. The compromise should be get the fuck out of our country and give us everything back and probably help us rebuild half the shit you just destroyed. But Trump's trying to come up with some compromise as if Ukraine did anything. Could you imagine trying to compromise with a rape victim? Like, no. Oh, I'm sorry you got raped, but you should give up something here because you're involved in this too.
You should give him a few pumps, you know. You should be okay with a few pumps. Like, you know, this is how Trump operates, okay? Obviously, he's doing it here, saying, like, they're going to have to give up a little. No, they're not. You talk about the Gaza Strip and, you know, basically just erasing people. We're going to put them up in a nice place. They'll be very happy. Like, you don't get it. You don't understand what it feels like for someone to say, we're going to take your home. We're going to take everything you know, and you don't have an option.
Yes. Could you imagine during World War II if we tried to compromise with Hitler? You keep half of Germany. You keep half the Jews you already have. Like, there are times where, yes, you compromise, and then there are times where you're facing pure evil, and there is no compromise. Because if you compromise with Russia invading Ukraine, what's going to happen when Russia invades Belgium or Sweden? Like, we're just going to tell everyone, like, well, I don't know who started the war, but now you both need to compromise.
I don't understand how it's so easy for you to compromise with these things, but to compromise and be bipartisan in your own country, you have no clue how to do that.
Right?
Yes. So this has to be benefiting you in some way. Or you wouldn't be like, eh, you got to give a little, you know, like you've never done that here, sir.
Yeah, boy, that's a great point. I hadn't thought of it that way, because you're right. Here in America, there is no more compromise with anything. It's his way or the highway. Yet with foreign countries, you're right. It's all about compromise, no matter how egregiously, obviously wrong one side is. So,
here to know news. News you need to know.
All right, I just want to quickly, for the 7,801,000th time, point out the hypocrisy on the right. The right is just as bad, if not worse, about this whole snowflake thing. You know, you and I were watching the SNL 50th anniversary special, and they did Black Jeopardy, and Tom Hanks came out and reprised the character that was a MAGA guy who, in the original sketch, actually found a lot of common ground with the black people on the panel there, and it was a funny sketch. To see that, you know, actually some poor MAGA people have a lot in common with what some African-Americans are actually advocating for, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So on the special that aired this past weekend, Tom Hanks came out and reprised that role. And he, you know, did the little racist thing when Keenan came over to shake his hand. He didn't want to shake his hand. And MAGA is freaking out, calling to boycott and cancel SNL and Tom Hanks. And how dare he make fun of us for being racists when all we've done is align with every racist in this country, from the KKK to white supremacist, when we've elected a man who has clearly overtly racist things. How dare you say that we have racism? Man, you're going to make fun of us on Saturday Night Live. Comedians are making fun of us.
So true, dude. I mean, I don't know why your panties are in such a bunch about this. Just admit it. Just admit it that you have things in common with people that are racist. And what he did was nothing, dude. You do not like to look at yourself that way. If you haven't seen yourself like that, you haven't looked in a mirror in a long time, because you're diddling racist notions.
Yes. Like we keep saying, like you are voting the same way the Klan voted, the white supremacist. Not every Republican's a racist, but every racist is a Republican. So the joke has a pretty good foundation in reality. And if you don't like that, then maybe you should be separating yourself from that, denouncing any of it. Because as we've done before, like when the white supremacists marched in Ohio after the election win, they didn't denounce any of it. They tried to claim it was all government plants and Biden be like, just acknowledge that there's some racism and try to denounce it and separate it. Don't get pissed off at Tom Hanks for a 30-second cameo on a comedy show because you were the butt of the joke that hit a little too close to home, didn't it? That's right. Why you're snowflaking it.
And I thought you guys didn't watch that show. Your king told you that it's, you know, that's boring. It's, you know, failing. Like, why? How did you see it? I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. So talk about toughen up a notch. Someone made a joke.
Should talk about Paul Simon before we talk about Tom Hanks. Like, you know, we should. I mean, that was the real dookie of the show.
Yeah, he murdered a classic song. His reputation, like,
yeah.
So Paul Simon's an icon. Like, I truly have him on my personal playlist. But, oof, yeah, that was a little rough. So,
you know. My brother and I were talking about, like, oh, you hate to see an artist go too long. You don't want that memory of him, and he did. I mean, Paul McCartney is a great example. He played the same show. It was one of the best moments of the anniversary show. And his voice has aged, to put it nicely, you know, but he still put on a hell of a show, and Paul Simon was just a little off. I just felt bad for him, so.
No, absolutely. No, Paul McCartney killed it. Hearing Golden Slumbers, I mean, that is one of my favorite Beatles songs. So the fact that he came out and did that, and yes, he is getting a little old, but it was not embarrassing, and the Paul right. Simon thing kind of was. And maybe Paul was just having an off night or whatever, but
yeah.
Yeah, an open encouragement to our heroes out there that know when to say when, both with drunk driving and your career. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Another episode, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. See our social medias, if you would, please.
TikTok, Reddit, YouTube, lots of fun stuff there. Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. A lot of good liberal activity going on in the world of Blue Sky. So find us there. It's The Vocal Minority on all those platforms.
And check out our telephone number. You can leave a comment. It's 844-48-VOCAL. A reminder to our audience.
Please, a real champion.
Hi, everybody. It's Elon Musk. You're listening to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. These guys are great. I'm not used to saying something is great with minority in the title. Felt weird, but I'm going with it for these boys. Nick and Steve, two new podcasts a week.
Shush your mouth. You're not the president.
Ha 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 ha.